Welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Thank you so much, Michael. We are back with the Grateful Dead here every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. We talk about your job and career, and we're talking today about nonprofits, two really great nonprofits. In the studio, we have Cassandra Hunneke, for the Special Events Coordinator for EAC Network. We have Devin Lafredo, the founder, developer, and president of Kid OYO and OYOClass.com. And we almost had Isabel Alexander, the account manager for the New York Blood Center. We want to do a shout out to Isabel and hope she's okay. Isabel apparently has had a small car accident on the Long Island Expressway and could not make it today. But Isabel, if you have your radio on, we're thinking about you, and we had a spot for you. We had your chair all warmed up, so come back and see us again if you can very soon. I want to get back to Devin for a minute. Devin, during the break, we were talking about the shortage of IT workers, and maybe not on the network administration side as much as it used to be, but certainly on the programming side. I am in the staffing business, and when one of my clients says, you know, I need a such and such, a .NET program, or I need this, I need that, a lot of times I won't even take the order because I'm going to have to import somebody from another part of the country. The company does not have a relocation policy, so there's no money to relocate somebody. So basically, I'm stuck. So I might not even take the job and leave the money on the table. That's the way staffing companies have to be. If you can't do the job, you don't even bother. So with that said, is your organization helping to stem the tide and increase the population and talent pool here on Long Island of technology workers? And is that the goal of the organization?
It's one of the goals, for sure. I mean, for us, it's about giving root empowerment to these kids to really use technology in whatever endeavor, whether it's giving back to their community through a nonprofit and servicing the needs locally, whether it's increasing their own employment opportunities as they get through their schooling. I think there's a lot of different ideas here. OYO, Own Your Own, was designed as a method when we first got involved that we wanted these kids to have a form of literacy that understood that when they were putting all of this data out there to the world, that they needed to be concerned about what was theirs, a sense of self-possession. And you're working across a network, and so how do you build relationships with other people effectively? How do you advocate for yourself? How do you protect the context of your own identity when you're sharing it with the world? And so we try to give literacy along those lines, but also we're teaching entrepreneurial thinking in all of these activities. So whether they're programmers or engineers, I work with a lot of university-level mentors, and they're telling me they don't necessarily want to go to Silicon Valley and take a job with Google or Facebook, even though we've lost many to those organizations. Mm-hmm. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to work on projects that they themselves can define as valuable and then give that a chance to find a life amongst their peers and amongst their community.
So, now, I should just plug Long Island here, because I think here we do an okay job. We have a lot of incubators on Long Island. ListNet has an incubator. CWIT now has companies that are aboard in their building. I wouldn't call it an incubator, but it's similar to an incubator. We have official incubators on the campus of Stony Brook, many of them.
That's right.
Lighty, I believe, is also an incubator. And I'm sure you can think of more.
Calverton.
You know, yeah. Calverton. So I mean, I think here we're doing an okay job with the incubators. I think government is trying to help business spawn more technology companies. So I get that part. But what the disturbing part to me is, where is the talent pool? That's right. The disturbing part to me. So tell me what Kid OYO is doing about that.
Well, so I think primarily the number one thing we're doing is making it accessible to the schools. So the first thing that happens when you go and try to bring these types of educational opportunities to the school is there's a little bit of teacher intimidation. You know, they haven't been trained on computational thinking. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily find entrepreneurial thinking in the schools either. So these are areas that don't necessarily get covered, and it's new for them to engage. Programming is extremely intimidating in how it is presented. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to build relationships with the schools to let teachers feel comfortable that they can bring this into their classroom and engage it in a way that's productive for the kids. So we're kid-centric as opposed to teacher-centric, and we let the teachers learn in an immersive style right there with with their kids and get to see how these skills being added to their classroom change how you teach social studies or how you teach math, English language arts. All of these things are affected by having these skills in the classroom.
Interesting. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, sure. So we were just in a few classrooms over the past week, and we had one of the classes was doing a project on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And they wanted the kids to produce a project to show that they understood the various articles of that Universal Declaration. And instead of creating just a handwritten paper or an essay, we had them actually code their own project and turn it into an interactive presentation that not only did they have to do the research to produce the materials, but they actually had to use the computational skills to produce that with a coding language. And so this was fifth grade that we did that in. And then we went right next door to a math class, and they were teaching the King Henry conversion chart in class, in the classroom. And so that was taking your different units of measurement and converting it. And we then took that chart that the teacher was presenting to these students, and we said, all right, well, let's create a program so that the actual mathematics of this chart is not something you're just looking at in a paper form, but let's program it so that you can create an object that moves from one column to the next, and it will give you back the mathematical computation because you have programmed the logic into the program. So you're engaging math while writing a program that you have to teach your program how to construct that mathematical formula, and it can come back to you as a tool.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I wish I had that.
Me too. I was just thinking when I was learning in math in what I guess we called it junior high back when I was there, but it's middle school now, and high school. You know, you could almost be traumatized by some of the bad teachers. I mean, the teaching was not good. The quality of the teaching nowadays, when you learn things, they teach it in such a more sophisticated and fun way than they did when I was a student, you know, 400 years ago, you know, however many years that was. But it seems so different now. I remember my son taking physics and telling me that, you know, they did this thing in the hallway where they pushed kids a certain distance and they were measuring. They got to measure what is a Newton, what is a joule, but with us, it was just words on a page, you know, way back. So I think it's become more dimensional, it's become more interactive, and it's become more interesting, and I'm hoping it's become more effective.
Yeah, I hope so. I think we're moving in that direction. I think that I'm sensitive to teachers because when you go into the classroom, you see how much they're managing and how much they have to. So much has been put on their shoulders. I think that there's so much goodwill and so much good intent embedded in the teaching profession. And when we bring programmers in to work with kids, the number one thing we realize is that you might be a great programmer, and historically, they might have pushed you into the basement to work with the lights out and kind of away from the rest of the company. With the Mountain Dew cans. And now you are standing in front of a bunch of people and being asked to teach. And teaching is an incredibly difficult skill. Marrying that together with programming skills is a very rare skill to find. And so, you know, we're trying to solve this by empowering both sides to meet one another. I think where we find the greatest obstacle in our work is really more at the higher level leadership positions that don't know how to collaborate. And they want to own the process exclusively. And sometimes there's a disabling nature to competition, or ego invades the process. And rather than engaging the community organizations that are trying to bring these relationships from parents and the community into the schools to empower it, because there's so much will behind that, it becomes a walled off terrain. And I think that's what's happening in schools. School is no longer contained by the walls where it once took place. It's now a network experience where kids are already aware that they can get educated on their own time after school. And when that experience is more powerful than what happens all day long, schools have a problem.
So, and you know what? You can buy a book now. Nowadays, you can buy a book and teach yourself stuff. And there's nothing stopping you from doing that. I used to have a teacher in college that would bug me every class and ask me a question I couldn't answer. And I used to say to myself, why? Why is he doing that? And then one day I finally confronted him with it. He said, because I think you're one of the smartest kids in the class, and what's stopping you from going on to the next lecture? So I thought about it for a minute, and I said, well, I guess there's nothing stopping me. I mean, no one told me to do it, but that doesn't mean I couldn't show the initiative and do it. And that's what he was looking for me to do. And I learned a very important lesson, you know, from him. And I still thank him for what he did. So a lot of this is messaging, too. You know, we have to be able to give our students the right message about what to learn, why to learn, how to learn, and then how to use the information that they've learned.
Absolutely. Yeah, everything we do is about teaching them self-led learning. Mm-hmm. When you go to take computer science at a university, they're not going to teach you how to code. they're going to teach you the science of computing, and they expect you to learn how to code to in whatever language, whether it's Java or Python or JavaScript. They expect that is the student that's going to perform that outcome. Mm-hmm. And so for us, what we're doing is we are not necessarily teaching you how to code. We're giving you the information. We're teaching you how to approach the problem set. But it's really going to turn into something where you have to be able to read to learn how to code. Before you ever write code, you are going to read code, and you're going to debug code. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't like to read, you're going to have a problem in a lot of areas of your life, not just programming. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to encourage these kids to approach the problems on their own and then lead their own learning process in whatever direction they're trying to take it.
Interesting. Okay, now before we forget, let's go to your company's job openings at the present time. Grab a pencil and paper, everybody. Kid Oyo has jobs.
We do. Yeah, we're actually looking to hire in a few different areas. So individuals that have experience building UI and UX design outcomes, user interaction, user design. So graphic designers, we're actively looking for in that. We also are looking to hire programmers with specific skills in Python, JavaScript, individuals that have worked with Node.js on the server side, MongoDB, HTML, CSS, those are our priorities. And the reason for that is we've built a platform that allows us to take this into the schools. And so the platform engages the ability to learn programming across all of these different areas of learning. And we've just got a lot of work coming at us, and trying to find the local skilled people is kind of our next challenge.
You know, Devin, you just mentioned a couple of very interesting things there. Many people stop me on the street because they know about my interest in IT and my specialization in IT and all the work that I've done in this area. And they say, hey, Scott, what are the hot areas? What are the hot languages? What should a student that's interested in computer science be studying? You know, but I'm not really qualified to answer that question. I think you are. Say it again. What should students be looking at?
Well, so, you know, it's interesting. Brookhaven National Lab was one of our first partners here on the island. And I remember them saying that they wanted more programmers with Python skills. You know, they're pulling in a lot of data from satellites that are all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they need a way to work with that, what we sometimes call big data, and to do the assessment and to kind of give it back in a way that's usable. So Python has been a major language that we've put a focus on. We use it ourselves in everything that we produce. Mm-hmm. I think the JavaScript has been something that, whether you're an independent business owner or you are working in more complex projects, it's developed a lot over the past few years. And so, you know, even working with something like Node.js has become very popular, and mm-hmm. at the leading edge is something that's growing in popularity. Mm-hmm. Having database skills, being able to work with the web languages, everything seems to be moving to the web. So there's just been a lot of that with HTML and CSS being at the leading edge there.
All right. Great tips. Five acronyms there that we picked up from you. All right. So did we finish with the jobs, or did you have more jobs?
So the other area that we are looking for people that have some skills on the accounting and legal side. Mm-hmm. So the other thing, I was just invited to the United Nations a couple months ago, and I've been, along with teaching kids about own your own and digital literacy, I've been pushing on a concept called self-sovereignty with identity, and it's been getting picked up on in something called the blockchain, mm-hmm. which might be a new term for a lot of people, but if you've heard of Bitcoin, digital currencies,
oh yeah,
that is something that's happening in that part of the world, and it's being applied to areas as diverse as how do we manage the refugee populations. And for them, there's a big risk of them registering into any of the areas where they're being brought, because as soon as their identities are known, it becomes a risk factor for their families that are left behind or for them to ever think about returning. So finding new ways to organize people's data when it comes to the identity layer is something that I've been very passionate about for a long time. And so people that are interested in the blockchain, that have been working with identity, is also an area that we're
okay. So how do people now, if they're interested and qualified, how do people get in touch with you and apply?
The easiest way would be to send me an email at dev@oyoclass.com, or you can go to either kidoyo.com or oyoclass.com, and you'll see information on both of those sites.
Careers page there?
Yep.
Okay, give your email address one more time.
It is dev@oyoclass.com, oyoclass.com.
Thank you, Devin. And speaking of jobs, Cassandra, I believe EAC has some jobs.
Yes, I'm going to mention a few, but we actually have about 20 openings right now. We are currently hiring a full-time family coach at our Suffolk Enhanced Supervised Visitation Program. The family coach will work with our families on enhancing parenting skills and help them hopefully transition from supervised visitations to full reunification with their children. Mm-hmm. We're also hiring a vocational care manager in Hempstead that will work for our Nassau Enhanced Employment Initiative. This position requires a case manager to assess the needs of our clients and refer them to services for extra support, whether that be educational or vocational. Mm-hmm. People who are interested in working for a nonprofit, we're always looking for case managers throughout Long Island, New York City, especially in all of the boroughs. You can visit us on our website at eac-network.org/careers. You can go to our website and go to About Us and then just choose careers and internships from there as well. Mm-hmm. So you can look at all the different openings that we have.
Case managers, do they need any kind of a social work degree certification?
Yes, they do have to be an LCSW.
LCSW, okay. Mm-hmm. Any other highlight jobs you want to give us before we move on?
Not at the moment. We hire a lot, actually.
Right, right, okay.
So we really do focus on social work the most.
Okay. So if you're in the social work field or know anybody in the social work field looking for a job, this is a great opportunity. Give us the website.
Absolutely.
One more time.
Sure. It is eac-network.org/careers.
Okay. Now, we want to talk about helping you guys raise some money. So let's say we have some generous folks in the audience that believe in both of your organizations. How can they get involved? How can they be helpful with either their time or their mentorship or their intelligence and knowledge or their money? How can they get involved? Start with you, Dev.
Okay. So as you mentioned, I think mentoring is the easiest way to get involved and to give of your time or your skills to come work with kids. Mm-hmm. One of the issues that we're trying to resolve is the diversity issue within these fields. So there's a big push to try to bring a much broader representation, both between men and women, but also between different people from different backgrounds, different races, to all have an equal voice, to have a chance to kind of bring their perspective to problems. Programming is such a powerful skill that, we really need to have these diverse perspectives to just bring health to our community and make sure we're not omitting certain perspectives from the tools that we build. Mm-hmm. So coming out and working with young people, making them aware of how these languages work, how careers function when you get to that level, I think that's the number one area. The other thing is, we've raised more money for other organizations on this island than we have for our own. Mm-hmm. It has meant that we've been very dependent upon the good faith giving of universities who make space available to us. But it also means that we're kind of vulnerable because we can only work with the schedules that the universities make available. So we are making a push right now to raise money that will help us to have a facility that's more available for the population to work with us 7 days a week. So anybody who would like to get involved as a fundraising partner, that's something that you can also do. And I would encourage that. Again, to reach out to me directly, you can also send an email to info@kidoyo.com, and we can start talking more in detail about what that would involve.
So whether it's mentoring or more of a financial contribution or a sponsorship or something like that, they're all going to write to the same place. They could write to you.
Exactly.
All right. Give that email address one more time.
info@kidoyo.com.
Okay. And Cassandra. Now, you need a lot of money. You got 72 different programs. I called it 172 before. Say, what's another 100? But it's only 72, but still, that's a lot of money that's required.
Yes, it is.
How can people get involved, mentor, contribute, sponsor, fundraise? Tell me everything.
Absolutely. We work with our donors or people who want to get involved in any capacity. So I'll give you a few examples. We've had one of our donors, Francine Love of Love Law Firm, who reached out to us and did a duffel bag drive. And Stony Brook University's Student Nurses Association also chipped in. And they were able to collect and fill 75 duffel bags filled with toiletries, towels, toys, for our children in foster care in our programs, which I just delivered and got to see a few children pick theirs out, and they were so excited. So that is one example. Another way is to donate your time. Personally, I just started a media literacy education seminar class for our at-risk youth. And that's just another way that you can donate your time and really help the kids. If you are passionate about anything, you can reach out to me at cassandra.hunicky@eac-network.org. I will spell out my name. It is cassandra.hunicky@eac-network.org.
So catchy. How could you miss that? It was just, no.
My name doesn't help. I'm sorry.
Cassandra Hunicky. Okay. Well, they can look you up. Are you on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn. Okay. You can also get my information on our website and go to our team under About Us, and you'll find my information there.
Okay, terrific. You guys did a fabulous job today, and that means you did a little bit more than you were supposed to because we were down a guest, but I don't think anybody noticed. Fabulous job, Cassandra and Devin. We are with you every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. The name of the show is Radio Jobline. If you have a thought or idea you would like to give to us, you can write to me. It's scott@linewsradio.com. That's my address here at the station. I'd be happy to talk to you about your question, possibly have you on the show, or even create a whole show around whatever's on your mind. So we'd be delighted to work with you directly. We'll be back again next week with more companies and jobs. Happy hunting, everybody.